right, well, we'll go ahead and welcome our last presenter, Matthew Dietz. Matt is a Master of Health Administration student at St. Louis University. His graduate research experience involves Medicare and Medicare Advantage, Medicaid, and economic evaluation of care models involving medically complex children. Matt currently works at Touche Regional Hospital, focusing on his Six Sigma Green Belt certification, trying to improve emergency department processes involving uninsured and homeless individuals. He also works at SSM, St. Mary's Health Center, in which he is currently developing a strategic plan of the Women's Pavilion, which is an integrated care delivery network of women's health services. So we'll welcome Matt.
So thank you again, everyone, for coming. I know I'm the last person practically of the day, so I'm going to try to keep it light and keep it brief and not try to bog you down with too much information. We are going to be discussing diabetes and related comorbidities among rural Medicare beneficiaries, and a lot of our data came from MEPS, which is the Medical Expenditure Panel Survey. Disclosure statement, I have no relationships to disclose. And we're going to kind of jump into this disease burden of exactly how prevalent is diabetes. And about 29 million Americans, just over, which is about 9.3% of the population in the United States, has diabetes. And out of the 29 million, about 11.8 million seniors over the age of 65 are also diabetic as well, which results in a just short 26% of the total senior population here in the United States. To further add to that prevalence number, about 86 million Americans are at pre-diabetic levels, which is roughly about just under 30% of the American population. So when you bring those two together, you're looking at almost 2 out of every 5 Americans are either pre-diabetic or diabetic. And in 2012, the United States spent $245 billion in related healthcare costs related to diabetes. And 62.4% of that, 0.4% of that was actually spent by the United States government. So that is either CMS or military spending. And then furthermore, to conclude, according to the American Diabetes Association, someone with diabetes has on average 2.3 times higher related healthcare costs than someone of the same common demographics than someone who does not. So we're going to play a real quick game real quick. It's called Find Your State. So everyone find your state. Ready? Right, and there's 2010. So that does just to kind of add to the prevalence of diabetes. The dark red is people who are over 9%, or the population is over 9% of total prevalence. So this is just a very quick way to kind of show exactly how prevalent diabetes is in the United States, but also how fast it has trended in the last two decades. So I'm sitting here talking to you about exactly, you know, what diabetes is, the prevalence, and so you're probably sitting here thinking, you know, what are we doing with our study? And in the theme of APHA this year of healthography, where you live determines on your health, we wanted to look at rural health outcomes versus urban health outcomes. And there's been numerous research, everyone has probably heard, that, you know, there are disparities between rural health and urban health. And some research that we have cited here shows that rural health has lower access to healthcare resources than some people in urban settings. And we wanted to look at Medicare patients and diabetes and rural health. And we looked at other previous research that has occurred, and we found that there's already things in prevalence of disease, there are things in how easy it is for someone to access care in regards to rural health and urban health, you know, how much people actually utilize care in these urban and rural settings, and then also measuring hospitalizations and readmissions with these three variables as well. So we wanted to find a research gap, and so what are we doing? Well, this is what we're doing. We found we've developed two models, and they're multivariate logistic regressions. And our outcome variable of the first model is the incidence of diabetes in MEPS. And we wanted to look at other variables such as geography, so whether you lived in an MSA or whether you lived in a rural setting. And MSA is determined by the Office of Management and Budget, and that is people who are in a population area of 50,000 or greater for an urban setting. And then if you are under the 50,000, you are in a rural setting. And we looked at, you had to be a Medicare beneficiary, and also we wanted to measure additional insurance. And this is going to be a very interesting model. So whether you had a supplement, whether you went out and bought private insurance, or whether you bought a Medicare supplement like a Part F. And then the second model was changing the outcome variable. Instead of incidence of diabetes, we wanted to look at comorbidities among diabetics. So whether you did not or did already have diabetes and whether you developed a complication or a comorbidity alongside your diabetes. So in regards to the models, we used the household component of AHRQ's Medical Expenditure Panel Survey. And the panel survey is broken down into panels. We use panels 9 through 15, which is 2003 to 2012. And in each panel spans 2 years. So for instance, panel 9 would be 2003 and 2004. And each person is asked a series of questions at different time intervals. And so we looked at different time intervals. For instance, the person in 2003 is going to be asked at the end of the year 2003, and then they're going to be asked the same questions at the end of the year 2004. And that's how we can measure incidence of diabetes, and et cetera. And the household component of the MEPS actually comes from the National Health Interview Survey. And these people came out of the survey and then into another questionnaire. So the first model I want to go into is the incidence of diabetes, and our sample size is 11,809, and these are non-diabetic Medicare beneficiaries. So these are people who, when they first reported, do not have diabetes. If you already had diabetes, you were left out of this model. We wanted to look at only the pure odds of incidence. And we explored the relationship between the incidence of diabetes and how it relates and has relationships with rurality and also that supplemental private insurance that we talked about. And we controlled for ethnicity, time, sex, age, marital status, education, and then also household income, and which is reported in MEPS as well. The second model is the prevalence of complications. So these are people who either don't have diabetes or do have diabetes. So if you don't have diabetes, you are in this model, but you have to report diabetes at the end of your second year. So you actually have to become a diabetic. And again, the last two bullet points are the same from the previous slide, except we just want to explore the prevalence of complications as our outcome variable instead of the incidence of diabetes, controlling for the same variables. So here's some descriptive stats. This is from our total population base that we came from, which was just short of 16,000. And about 57% were female. I do apologize for the typo right here, according to my mouse. It's actually 25% were under the age of 65, not 25% were over the age of 65. And that 25% is going to be primarily the disabled population who is eligible for Medicare. And then 41% had insurance in addition to Medicare. So these were people who were picking up a private insurance or a Medicare sub. So I'm going to go into the results, and this is the incidence of diabetes. And I wanted to really kind of just point out the ones that kind of made a splash with us in our results. Non-white in rural settings were actually 2.24 was our odds of incidence ratio, controlling for everything else. If you're in a rural setting, and then in an urban setting, of course, is not significant. Hispanics were surprisingly a protected population. We showed significance at in a rural setting of 0.27. And then age was also surprising. So over the age of 80, you were actually protective from the incidence of diabetes, whereas people who were aging into Medicare at the ages of 65 all the way up to age 79, there was no significance, or they were actually at a greater risk of odds. So these were three actually surprising odds that we came up with. And then we wanted to really look at the private insurance and the rural, not in a metropolitan statistical area. And we cannot prove any significance with that whatsoever. And I will kind of discuss that with my discussion and my recommendations here in a couple minutes. So again, we already saw this slide. Now we're going to transition over to the prevalence of complications, and we're going to look at what we did with that model. And we wanted to look at the prevalence of complications or comorbid condition that goes along with diabetes, and we were able to track these nine other conditions from the MEPS survey: high blood pressure, congestive heart disease, stroke, TIA, high cholesterol, retinopathy, nephropathy, angina, and AMI. And here are the results with that. We only have a total N of just over 3,600 because these are people who do have diabetes. And then again, non-white actually this time showed a little bit of protectiveness, but there was no significance. And then Hispanic, again, is a very protective population. And then the private insurance actually shows that there's a 47%, or 1.47 is the odds ratio, a greater at-risk odds of having a diabetic-related complication if you already have diabetes. And that is going to be the all setting, bringing them two together. And again, the rule shows no actual significance for at-risk of being having a diabetic complication prevalence. So I want to talk about a couple limitations, and the first limitation is MEPS is self-reported. And so the question is set up as, has a doctor ever told you that you blank? And we can tell you with certainty that there is a reporting bias. And we know that because when we looked at some of these people, some of them would state that, yes, I have diabetes at the end of their first year. And about 400 of them actually stated that we would have diabetes. And then at the end of the second year, they would actually say, no, we don't have diabetes. And so there is a little bit of reporting bias that is going on. People sometimes may be unsure. A very good discussion point is the non-significance of rurality. And I told you that I would mention this very briefly, but this may be just because of a small sample size. Because the urban population was actually 78% of our total capital N, it may help or may be difficult to show significance with such small N numbers in a rural population. Something that we did find a little research on was the Hispanic paradox, and this article actually is coming out this month, and the Hispanic paradox is the theory that Hispanic populations are actually naturally protected from chronic disease based on lifestyle. So even though the research has shown that many Hispanic individuals and populations are of lower socioeconomic status, they actually, their lifestyle, their diet, their exercise, their occupation actually makes them overall healthier from chronic disease compared to someone who may be sitting in a more sedentary position. We also wanted to talk about the increased age and diabetes incidence. And so if you remember when I talked about people over the age of 80, we're actually protective of developing the incidence of diabetes. We were very curious as to why this was happening. And we found a couple research articles about this, and it's called the survivorship effect, and it's very difficult to find sometimes. And the theory started that if you were just of a specific age, once you got up there in age, if you weren't going to get it, you weren't going to get it by now, all right, if you hadn't already got it already. But then the research has kind of evolved into the fact that people, once they reach increased ages, are at higher risk of glucose intolerance. And that glucose intolerance actually will create adverse health outcomes in different chronic diseases and may cause other things to happen. And to put it blunt, would cause them to die before actually diabetes would actually become diagnosed. So that was something that we found. And that was, I got actually that discussion from Rockwood in a 1998 article. And I thought he summed that up very, very well in helping kind of show or explain that. And then also we want to talk about the effects of private insurance. And so it's a really good discussion point. And the first thing is, do we have a little adverse selection going on? And so to educate, adverse selection is that with people with complex conditions will actively seek out additional insurance to better be covered for the utilization that they already know that they will have. And so we wanted to know that if you, perhaps the results show that you have an increased risk, or our data shows that you have an increased risk of diabetic prevalence and complications with private insurance, but that's because maybe actually people are going and seeking private insurance to help with those complications. The further one that we want to discuss is the reduction to barriers of care, and that having the extra insurance may actually reduce the financial barriers to care, because Medicare Part B, you have a 20% co-insurance with all costs related. So if you can have an economic benefit or an economic effectiveness of going and getting a supplement, which is only perhaps paying a small copay compared to a 20% co-insurance, it actually may be more beneficial for you to go get that supplement and help pay for any increased utilization costs that you may have. So where do we go from here? What recommendations do we have? And the first thing that we want to do is we want to study the differences in utilization among urban and rural beneficiaries. And the reason why we want to do that is because we really want to see, and we want to control for insurance, we want to see how do people utilize their healthcare services when they control for insurance. Does insurance actually change how much they utilize their healthcare? And we actually talked about this just the other day, and we thought a very good study would be is if we could pull EMR data and be able to track glucose trends among pre-diabetics and see the actual incidence of diabetes among EMR data, tracking glucose trends alongside all of the other data that we have with individuals. We think that would be a very good, and tracking the utilization, that would be a very good study for the future. Furthermore, we want to determine the timing of diabetes or complications-related diagnosis. And this is going to help perhaps let us weed out that effect of adverse selection. And so our hypothesis is, if you go and get diabetes, or you go and get private insurance, we want to track how long it actually takes from the moment that you enroll into that supplement to the date that you actually are diagnosed with a complication. And the hypothesis is that if you are diagnosed so quickly, very quickly after your enrollment, then that actual private insurance may already, and that utilization of the, you know, your supplement may actually be detecting something that's already been there because of that increased access to care. Furthermore, we want to do a longitudinal study of chronic disease incidence and prevalence among rural patients. And the reason why we say this is because MEPS is only in a two-year panel per individual, and so you only really get two data points. And so sometimes it's going to be more difficult to track diabetes incidence among only two data points from 1 year to another year compared to if we had four data points or six data points going 3 to 5 years. Now, a possibility is taking the National Health Interview Survey, combining that with MEPS and overlapping the ID number of each individual, and we would actually be able to get four or even five data points from that, but the years would still be very limited in only 3 to 4 years. And so we would be wanting to have the ability to look at something a little bit longer term to detect the incidence of diabetes among different patients and individuals in different settings, and also the prevalence of outcomes, and how do we weed out that weird private insurance outcome that we determined for the prevalence of complications. So that being said, we do believe that this is a good starting point. It's a very good, interesting results, and it does provide a little bit of evidence to help support not only the Hispanic paradox that I mentioned, but it also supports that survivorship effect theory that is very rare and elusive as well. And it does provide us with a lot more hypotheses to work on in the future. So, references, and thank you very much. Throw me the gauntlet, please.
Yeah. these are our students, right? We're the future right here, so trying as well. I will pick apart the Hispanic paradox really quickly. I didn't want to do it, and I know you're thinking about insurance as well, but so Hispanic paradox, obviously, so looking at minorities who tend to have the same socioeconomic status.
Immigration status, so this idea of the healthy immigrant, so that people who immigrated to this country are, by virtue of that, more healthy to make the journey. So that's kind of another piece of that same thing.
And I definitely do agree, to follow up with that point. There may be very many underlying reasons and variables to which things could occur. What I do find to be very interesting that we could have the ability to do is the reason, when you have an urban setting, for instance, an urban Hispanic may be different from a rural Hispanic, and so lifestyles may also be different. And being able to do a little bit of a deeper dive into that as well may also be beneficial to help kind of find those underlying problems. And I thank you for kind of touching on that. And that's where a lot of the research really to date has been. And when I first heard of the Hispanic paradox, I was told by the principal investigator, I never heard of it before. And if you go do a search, it's so much information that's really becoming prevalent now. What I would be very interested in is, or personally, is that survivorship effect, and really trying to find the underlying causes. And I think there's going to be a lot more physiological reasons for being of increased age and having a decreased incidence in diabetes compared to other age groups. Thank you for the comment, and it is a very plausible theory that really the diabetes is a silent epidemic. The ADA does predict, the American Diabetes Association does predict that by 2050, one in every three individuals in the United States will have diabetes, and that is no secret fact, not just pre-diabetics, but diabetics. And knowing that only 10% of the actual population spends $245 billion, and if you can simply overlay a cost curve and future healthcare cost trends, and you add, 100 million Americans now with this disease, your healthcare expenditures, it's very, very easy to ascertain that there's going to be a very large financial burden upon the country if that actually, that one in three number does in fact hold true.
And lives lost and disabilities just in life years. Costs are very important, and they get people's attention. I think we always have to remember